Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Kathleen Keating, my guest, and she does have a website called KathleenKeating.com, linked up with CoastToCoastAM.com. Kathleen, would you mention you do write some very fascinating books, and for my listeners tonight, you do have a special for them?
We do.
Okay, can you mention that before we go to the calls?
All five of the books are $60, which is a savings of over $30, or there's a special $12.95 for each book if you want them singularly. And you can even stop by Tornsky, the movie site. It's up. We've got a significant actor who's interested in the script and a producer attached, and we're still looking for funding. So I wanted to give an update for everybody who's asked about that, too.
Great. There is a toll-free number for the book, and that is 866-394-2665.
Right.
As well. Amazon.com. Or I guess for the special, you got to go straight through this, right?
You can use the phone line, or you can order online. I think the order thing on the web is up, too.
Yes, it is. Counting?
Counting Coup Press.
Better spell that.
Counting, C-O-U-N-T-I-N-G, C-O-U-P-P-R-E-S-S.com, or go to my site at KathleenKeating.com, and you'll get a link to it.
Very good. As these events begin to unfold, how much time do you think there is between what is happening now, which you say is not the big one, not the apocalypse, not the end times, and what would very well be called end times? How much time do we have in between, do you think?
Well, I do think we are on the edge of the end times and easing into the tribulation, and I think that's what the angels are signifying. If things are going the way they're going, even though they're somewhat being rushed by man, I think that we could start seeing some major events and maybe even the Great Warning within the next couple of years.
That soon.
Depending on whether people come back to God one way or another. Of course, the Great Monarch's going to come in there too and try to settle the world down. But we're going to see an upheaval between Christians and Muslims, unfortunately. And it's going to be a widespread worldwide war.
Is there going to be any way to get this thing resolved? Or is it going to end up in this horrible, horrible situation?
You know, we were in this position in the 1400s. St. Vincent Ferrer traveled the earth. He was known as the Angel of the Apocalypse, trying to tell people what was going on, what was happening, and bringing them back to God. And he stopped it at that point. So many people converted that everything straightened out, and we had, you know, centuries more to go through. And this started winding up again in our century at the end of the 18th century into the 19th century. And I think the whole thing was supposed to come about in 1980, but again was forestalled with prayer. But right now, I don't know. I think that we're into really dangerous waters, and I don't think that we can put it off forever unless we come back to God.
Okay, let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hi there.
Hello. I have a question for Kathleen, and I feel a little strange discussing this, but I just want to ask you. About 18 years ago, I believe I had a vision of Satan or the devil or whatever it is you want to call it, in which I was offered, simply put, a pact with the devil in exchange for doing his work on this planet, and then I would achieve whatever I wanted in life. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds kind of stereotypical. I was raised as a Catholic. Maybe I already had this all in my subconscious, but I believe this happened. This was a vision. It was not a dream. And I refused. It was very seductive and very alluring, but I refused, and I said, no, I want to go with God.
Was your vision very, like, video rather than dreamlike?
Yes. Uh-huh. It was very real. It was in my room.
Right.
It was in my room. It wasn't a dream.
Ultra bright.
Yes. Yeah. And he was at the foot of my bed.
Sounds like you had the real thing.
And then when I said no, I thought it was over, and then he appeared on the side of my bed and showed me hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the souls in hell. And I was not doing a spiritual path at that time. I was just terrified. And about a year later, I had a spiritual awakening, and I started to follow a yogic path, meditation, and I was, so I do believe in God. But I've spoken with several Hindu and Buddhist teachers who told me it was in my mind. It was a mental projection from my mind. But I don't believe this. And my question to you is, am I marked in some way by this experience? Am I forever going to be marked by this entity for my downfall, or what is there a spiritual, some sort of spiritual message I can take for this in my life?
He obviously prizes your soul a great deal, or he wouldn't have visited you.
Mm-hmm.
His whole object is to get souls, no matter what, mm-hmm. and to get them through death or however to do his work for him and to make you lost to God. And that's, he thinks he will become God by having more souls than God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you're protected. You certainly got out of it. If you're not doing his work, you're fine. But we all have to, you know, keep ourselves in the right light of God before, you know, we have any more of those problems. But I think you'll be all right.
Okay.
You resisted, and that was the main thing.
Well, it does. Have you ever participated in or witnessed an exorcism by any chance, Kathleen?
No. I have had some friends that have.
They are scary, scary things. I knew a priest that performed one once, and he said never again.
Right. It takes a lot out of them. They even have to have physicians standing by for the priest.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast with Kathleen Keating. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing? This is Steve from Phoenix.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Good.
And hello, Kathleen. How are you?
Well, fine, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing so great, especially to hear you on here. Everything this lady is saying is true. George, I talked to you a couple weeks ago about the sleep paralysis.
Yes.
A major conversion, and everything this lady is saying is exactly what did it. Two things I wanted to touch base on. One, she mentioned Maitreya,
mm-hmm.
and if you follow his whole path, he talks of Christ-like, yet mixing Buddhism, and on his website he has talking about a great idol they're building, and it's like a Hindu idol, and Buddhists don't exactly worship the idol. He's mixing these isms, and he's getting us to this one, number one, breaking the commandment of worshiping idols, and it's a great deception for those that truly do not know their Christian beliefs and faith like they should, and it's so deceiving. And she's right about this Maitreya. It's not good.
Well, what if the
calling the idol too, Maitreya?
What if the Maitreya is just nuts? What if he's insane? Is that
too
possible?
Too much power to be just nuts. Too much power.
All right, here's a question. How do you know that he is appearing at some of these governmental leaders' offices?
From government sources.
All right, tell me about that. Without revealing their names, you're not going to tell me them anyway.
I didn't even think of that. But, no, some people that are very well connected know that this is happening.
Explain what they say. I'm curious. What do they tell you?
They think that there is, and you'll hear things, you know, about the White House or whatever, that there's a lot of religious stuff going on and mandatory Bible study and that apparently this person is in contact with presidents, you know, from now and to the past, you know, for the past about 15 years. And you hear that true in governments around the world. It's not just the United States.
Are these insiders?
Insiders, very close.
And they see this happening?
They have extreme access to the president and to other government leaders, and they're all saying the same thing.
How weird. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Is this George?
Well, I know this voice.
This is Doug from North County.
Doug from St. Louis. How are you?
Pretty good, my man. Long time and
yep.
Haven't spoken to you.
Good to hear from you.
I heard Mr. Morton with Joe De Niro tonight, and they had a real good program.
That's my old station, KTRS.
Yes, George, I'm a dream seer. I was going to call you very many times when you had your program and tell you some things, but I didn't think you'd believe me. Now that you've taken over for Mr. Bell, it's like you're in position now to maybe try to absorb this. But I have seen the devil, and I have seen Lucifer. I have not seen Satan except one time, when I saw them all three come together in one body. This was an extreme dream scene, a thing, where I was in like a castle that was nowadays, I believe it could have been Europe, and they walked through three, and I was like, I was kind of sitting behind this throne. It was a wooden throne.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all brick, stone, I mean, I'm sorry. And they all three came through a doorway and merged into one. Now, if this is the Maitreya, I'm not sure. But I did learn something in a following dream. And I'm not belittling the Jewish community when I say this. But when they build the temple on the Rock of the Dome, that's when the end is very near.
Well, that's what prophecy says. And Kathleen Dug, of course, used to call my local show a lot with some really good stories. And, you know, you can take what he says to the bank. He had a dream like this. What does that mean?
He's very accurate. A lot of people see Lucifer as three different entities into one. And certainly the embodiment of Lucifer on Earth is Maitreya.
All right. Let's go next to R. Where do we go? West of the Rockies. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
My name is Benina, and I'm from Sandy, Utah. I'm a first-time caller. Hey, listen, I have a question for Kathleen. I've had a spiritual awakening and the thing of it is in my meditation, I have been told a couple of things. The first one is, you are loved, you are protected. And then the spirit says, I am a child of God.
Okay.
And the other thing is I had an experience with my son, and I really wanted to get your input on this.
Sure.
My mom and my son were standing in the hall arguing, and my mom said, either your will or mine. Then all of a sudden I felt myself go out of my body and stare and look at the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt it go into my son and feel his powerlessness, and then it went back into me.
That's a scary situation because whenever people see things, visions or whatever, or dreamlike states, you need to rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ, first of all, to determine exactly the party you're dealing with.
That's right. And the thing of it is afterwards, I felt really, really uncomfortable and discontent. So to me, it was Satan.
Right.
Because I know if it were God, it would be all loving, all caring, and all pure, and all good things. Like in my meditation when he says, you're loved, you're protected, you're a child of God.
Mm-hmm. And you can feel something within your chest kind of flutter as a warning sign if it's evil. A lot of people have expressed that feeling, and then they feel like they're being under attack or that someone's sitting on them when it's an evil encounter. And your heart will start racing, and the palpitations are very uncomfortable.
Are these voices that you say that people are hearing, are they evil from evil sources, Kathleen?
I think by and large they are, and I think they are being allowed to confuse us. And certainly they're doing that. They're scaring people to death because people think they're losing their minds. Because they can't quite get what they're saying, except for the one gentleman that had two turtle doves that during the middle of the night he was up on his computer and heard the bird say, help me. You know, and it's like, oh, man, you know, I would have been so out of there.
Maybe it was a talking parakeet parrot.
No, it was a dove, and he had to ask St. Michael for protection, and he got it. But, boy, those doves would be gone.
Some people will commit murders and heinous crimes and then say, I heard these voices in my head, and they told me to kill, and they told me to do this. How many of these people are obviously insane? How many of these people may have really heard some voices commanding them to do this?
I think the majority of people that hear voices are possessed.
Possessed. Not,
yes,
not insane, but
not
possessed.
Insane. I think they can be driven insane by them, but I think the origination of them is demonic.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good morning, George. This is AJ from Minnesota.
Hi, AJ.
How are you doing?
Good.
Well, I first off want to thank Ms. Keating. The information she's giving this morning is really amazing and really true. Anything out there who doesn't believe it, I've kind of got a little story to tell before I get to my question.
All right, sure thing.
Starting on April 14th, I began to hear voices, and this is not something I've ever done before. It actually led me to end up breaking into a nearby neighbor's house looking for a friend of mine that I thought was in trouble. I believed it was the end of the world because the voices were telling me so.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I have to agree completely with you, Ms. Keating. I don't think that these voices, these people hear, are insanity. I think they're possession.
Oh, absolutely.
I really, really felt at the time that I was being externally influenced because the thoughts just were not my own. And since then, through prayer and faith, I've been able to get through that situation.
What happened when you broke into the house, AJ?
I was arrested.
Okay. So they were there. They were in there, and
I was in there for quite some time looking around their house looking for this friend of mine that I thought was trapped there. I don't want to get into too much detail.
No, I understand. I understand.
Needless to say, I was arrested and spent an evening in jail. And while I was in jail, I was talked to by some of the brothers who were in there. And you'd be amazed at some of the work that goes on inside our jail system nowadays. While I was there, they were talking about how the investigator is basically you have to confess to the investigator. And to listen to them, at first you'd think they were talking about a district attorney or something, but as I started paying attention, I realized they were talking about the Lord. And so I quietly prayed to God. I confessed that, you know, basically up until this time I had had faith, but that I had not been following the true path. I really had been being a pretty bad person. And after praying to God and asking for his forgiveness, within a half hour, I was released. All charges were dropped.
That whole episode changed you, didn't it?
It took my faith from what at that time would have been a 2 to a solid 9. And I, the only reason I say 10 is it wouldn't be 10 is because then it wouldn't be faith. It would be knowledge.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a very interesting experience. The voice continued to play with me for quite some time after that, up until, well, about a month ago. And just continuing to work with prayer, I managed to get it to go away, would be the best way to describe it. And that's kind of what I was going to ask Ms. Keating. You've mentioned this creature,
Maitreya.
Maitreya, yeah. I understand from what I've read in the Bible that there are 7,000 elect of God here both in spirit and in flesh on the earth during this end time. I mean, I don't want to say that today is the end time, but I'd say we're in the fifth seal.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah, I agree. But my understanding is that Satan himself is currently bound behind the throne of God, so he wouldn't be able to do much more on this earth other than whisper in our heads.
He's been loosed on the earth since the late 1800s. So he has been given.
What makes you believe that? Is there a scriptural passage you can refer to for that?
I think that I don't have it in front of me, and I wish I did, AJ, but there are scriptural references, and certainly that there have been references in Fatima that Satan has been loosed, and certainly we're seeing that. You don't have to find it in any particular book to see that things are not quite right.
Well, what do you mean he's been loosed? He's out and about, you mean?
Yeah, he has free rein to come and get us and to do what he will.
I always thought he had free rein since the beginning of time, almost.
Well, he has, but he had been bound for a while and was not allowed to harm us to the extent that he is now. Somewhat like Job, we are all being tested right now.
Ironically, because there was an old Twilight Zone bit where an individual had captured Satan and had kept him behind, locked up. And he kept telling his maid, please, whatever you do, don't open this door. And she would hear howling and things like that mm-hmm. when he had gone to work.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so possessed by it, Kathleen, she let him out. And it was indeed Satan. And when we come back, we will continue chatting with Kathleen Keating, and we'll open up the phone lines again at the top of the hour, give you an opportunity to chat with her. Still, like to know if you're hearing any strange voices. Kathleen, would you ever like to meet the Maitreya, the Antichrist?
I did.
Did you directly?
Yes, he appeared in my backyard.
I remember you told me that on the last time we interviewed, mm-hmm. but I don't know if you ever met him. Did you?
Well, that's how I met him. I mean, I didn't go up and shake his hand, but I guess we met.
Did you chat?
He chatted. I kept quiet.
What did he say to you?
Well, he just said hi. You know, I didn't engage him. You know, I knew.
Hi, like a normal person would say hi?
Hi, in his Armani suit and his slick hair tied back, and he walked back and forth, and he was waiting for me to say something, which I was not going to do because I knew you're not supposed to engage him in any conversation. And I kept quiet. He didn't say anything more. He was waiting for me to say something or to let him in, and I wasn't going to do it. And he walked off into thin air.
Did it scare you, that episode?
Oh, Daddy. It really did. That was terrible. And my dog has never been the same. She was out there. When he appeared.
He probably petted the dog.
I don't think so, but whatever he did has really profoundly affected her.
Maybe he possessed the dog. Is that possible?
Well, we think so to some extent that he's done some damage to her.
Emotional?
Yeah.
Spiritual,
yeah.
Whatever. Because I do believe animals have little spirits.
Yes, I think so. And poor thing's never been the same. And, you know, she's had holy water and a St. Benedict medal, which help her. But, boy, she just really lost her joy for life.
So what would you say if I said, Well, that might be a very fascinating interview on Coast to Coast. Me and the Maitreya. What would you recommend?
Don't do it.
Because of your concern for me?
For you, sure. I worry about you, too. But, boy, if you've got millions of listeners, George, that could succumb to that man.
You think he could touch their lives?
Absolutely. I know he does. I know that there are people that once they go to his website are either affected so badly that they can't get his face out of their minds.
And he would need a venue like this in order to reach millions of people, wouldn't he?
He's got a very magnetic personality. He has a lot of power, something that we don't understand. We've never seen anybody like this that's had that capability.
If listening to him, would people say, Kathleen Keating is nuts. This guy's got his act together. Would he trick people like that?
I challenge callers to call in and say if they've had that experience with him. From the feedback I'm getting, the guy really gets into people and really does some damage, and it scares them.
And they don't even know it, do they?
Some of them do right away. Some of them, some educated, trained people, professional people have gone to a site and suddenly vomited, for 2 hours after going there.
How did he become the Antichrist? What happened to him?
He was born to be the Antichrist.
I mean, was he born? He's human, right?
He's human, but he's, I believe, really possesses the spirit of Lucifer.
Does he possess the Lucifer's soul or spirit?
And all his abilities. And we have to remember that Lucifer was the most powerful angel. So you can imagine what this man's capable of.
He was born in the Middle East?
Apparently. Supposedly of a Jewish mother and a Catholic father.
Jewish mother and a Catholic father?
Supposedly. But the story changes.
He looks like he's from India or Pakistan or something like that.
I hear Pakistan, too. But then again, his appearance changes. The man I saw looked very similar to his picture on the web, but he was a lot more European, and he changes. He can have blonde hair. That's the thing with this guy. He can be whatever he wants, or whatever he thinks his target will absorb, or be enamored.
What if I do the interview? Would you do it with me?
No.
You would not?
No.
You're going to make me do it alone, huh?
Well, I wouldn't want to be part of it.
And then my voice starts to change on the air. Kathleen, where are you?
I think he might visit your family, George. He may not bother you, but I think he might use you to get to other people.
Well, I wouldn't want him to do that.
I wouldn't want that either.
I'm very protective of them. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Jan from San Fernando.
Hello, Jan.
Hi, I wanted to ask Kathleen if Maitreya can appear to these world leaders as Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he can change the way he looks and actually look like Jesus?
Absolutely. I mean, he can have the beard, the long hair, and the whole bit.
So they think they're actually seeing Jesus.
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't appear like in an Armani suit.
They don't know it's Maitreya. They think it's Jesus.
No.
So they think they're actually seeing Jesus.
That name.
Yeah, they actually believe that they are seeing Jesus Christ, right?
Right. Or they'll say, to some people, he will say he's the Messiah. He kind of hedges on the Jesus. But he will say that to some people if that's what they believe. But then he indoctrinates them that his name is really Maitreya and that we really should call him that.
Most politicos, Kathleen, just because of the nature of the job, also have a driving ego. Do you think he preys on that? I mean,
absolutely. But if that's your fault, he works on it. Whatever your weaknesses are, he plays on that and uses that. And certainly he would build them up. If he tells, a prime minister or a president, you're the great monarch. You're the one that's going to rule the world, and I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to do that for me. Most of these guys with those super egos would jump at the chance and think that they're doing a very holy thing.
Well, if they're somewhat religious in the first place, this will baffle them even more.
Right.
I mean, I got to tell you, if I'm doing my broadcast and somebody who looks like Jesus pops up behind my engineer and starts telling me you're going to be the world's greatest broadcast voice, I'm going to think a little bit about the message this guy just gave me.
I know, and it's going to profoundly affect you. And if he starts doing wonders in front of you to prove that he is supposedly God, you might fall for it.
Well, let me tell you, if he just appeared in this studio, to me that would be a wonder. And that would make me say, you know what, he might be who he says he is, and so
sure.
I'm tricked.
Sure.
East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with Kathleen Keating. Hi there.
Hello, George. How are you?
Good.
George, you and I are the same age. I was looking at your bio, and so we...
We're 110?
No, brother, but I was in advertising years ago and everything, but here I am at a refinery in Houston, Texas. But,
well, welcome to the show.
Anyway, we share the same period of life and everything. The question, I want to share one other thing with you, but the question I'd like to ask Ms. Keating is about America and if we're the modern Babylon, how she sees things wrapping up here. But I just wanted you to know how much I enjoy having you being on, George. And I want to encourage you, truly believe what the Bible says about God putting men or kings in their places, that, and don't take this wrong, but you're put there for a reason here. Now, you've got this messenger here that's now watered your spirit. Now, you gotta keep, keep on going with it.
She's wet my appetite with this, I'll tell you
that. That's right. And a lot of people are going to come against you, brother. But, you got a talent given to you. I hope you're the one that brings back 10 to him. And I wish you will. I hope I see you in heaven, too, okay?
Well, I hope I get there, too. Well, that was a very nice call, Kathleen.
Yes, very nice. What a guy. What is Babylon? I think it's New York City.
Why?
I think because of the seed of all the sin that's there. Certainly the visionaries are being told that.
Kathleen, there's sin everywhere on this planet.
Not to the extent and not to the control of the monetary funds of the world and to all the things that are going on there. The visionaries have been told.
Paris could be worse.
Well, Paris is doomed too. But as far as specifically naming Babylon, I believe it's New York City.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Diane, and I'm in Montana. It's 2 o'clock in the morning almost, so I sound a little tired.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay.
This is actually the first time I've ever listened to you on the radio. It's kind of going through, and Kathleen as well. For the first 36 of my years of my life, I didn't believe in God, and I didn't want there to be a God because I wanted to just do everything that I wanted to do. And unbeknownst to me, a gal who knew me was praying for me and had done so for a year before I gave my life over to the Lord. You talk about people hearing voices. Well, this was a different type of thing than what I'm hearing people say. To me, it was kind of a nudging or kind of an invitation almost inside of my heart or my spirit.
Very soft-spoken.
Exactly.
Right.
And it went on for a while, probably 2 or 3 months, every night before I'd go to sleep or any time I'd be really quiet. I would feel this, and I really wanted to put it off. I didn't want to have anything to do with it because that meant that I probably would have to change my life. And from my own ideas about being a Christian, I thought it would be pretty boring and, pretty humorless. Anyway, I finally decided that I couldn't fight the soft voice and the invitation anymore. And as I was putting out my cigarette at the time, I used to smoke, and I spoke it out loud. I said, if you think you can make me turn me into a Christian, then go right ahead, because I really didn't believe that I was good enough to be one, because at the time I thought that that's what it took. And it almost seems like instantaneously, once I spoke that, I was enveloped in something that I had never experienced in my whole life, and it was the one thing that I've always been searching for.
What was that?
And it was love. I was immersed in this, I don't know, it was
but
just
not
like,
an earthly love, is it?
No.
It's beyond compare.
It's way beyond anything like that. And I realized at that point in time that I could never, ever, I knew it was him. I knew it was the Lord.
Well, do you think, Kathleen and caller, do you think that good eventually is going to overtake evil?
Yes, I think that good will triumph. It has to. I mean, we know the Bible says that, but I firmly believe that.
Is that going to be a rough road?
Absolutely. It's going to be a nightmare. Yeah, I wrote about that in Torn Sky, kind of the blow-by-blow of what's going to happen in this battle, so that people would have a roadmap so that they could, when it gets really, really ugly, and I mean ugly, with people hearing voices and actually seeing the demons, which we're coming to in a very quick time here, that they would have a foundation, that they would know. And it's all written down. Everybody knows what's going to happen, but people have been avoiding it for years and have gotten so far away from it, they're not ready for what's going to happen in a few years.
Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hello, George.
Yeah.
This is Mike in Fontana.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Kathleen, I know that there's a lot of, I believe right now we're in a state of spiritual demise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a spiritual demise. And it's funny because lately I've been feeling like I'm the Archangel Michael. I've been trying to come back to know God more about his compassion, his love. And it's funny because today is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday,
happy
first
birthday.
Of all.
Thank you. And I feel that I'm coming. I'm trying hard to resist temptation and to resist the spirits that are out there. And it's just been one thing after another. But I believe that I feel like I'm battling between the evil and good.
Are you winning, Michael?
You know, sometimes I feel like I'm losing the battle, but I feel like in the end that Paul said that we fight the good to fight the good fight, and I feel like in the end the good fight will overtake whatever is out there. We fought the good fight, and I think evil is going to be destroyed in the end. That's my own perception.
Well, I hope you're right. Kathleen, you believe the same thing.
I do, absolutely.
When people die,
mm-hmm.
Do you believe that if they've been bad, that that soul goes to a hell?
I think that when people die, if they realize they've made a mistake and say they're sorry, that no, they don't go to hell.
When do they say they're sorry? Before they die or?
During the process, you know, when you're seeing your life pass before you.
Right.
I believe that God gives us that time because he slows it down. You have, like, if you've ever been in a car accident, everything slows. And I think that you're getting ready to go through the veil at that point.
Is that what they mean by make peace with your maker?
Right. Right then and there, you know, and God listens, and he's a merciful God. But if people die and say, I don't care, you know, I hate you, you're going to go to hell. I think that's the way justice is with God.
What if you only have like a second to go and you go, just forgive me for everything I did? Bang, it's
you're
done.
Forgiven.
Just like that?
Yes.
Well, that's a good thing. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Rita from Spokane, Washington.
Hello, Rita.
Yes, Kathleen.
Hi, Rita.
How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I wanted to let you know that you are so right about the love thing, because I had a near-death experience in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on the other side, the only thing you feel is such a tremendous peace and a tremendous love. You can't even fathom it. You will not fathom it until you get to the other side.
I don't think we can, because it's totally consuming from what I've heard.
It is out of this world.
Did you want to come back?
Yeah.
You
I
did.
Can't wait to go back, in fact.
Well, I mean, did you want to come back to your earthly body, or did you want to stay where you were?
I didn't have enough time to worry about that. I was just pulled back.
But you're not afraid of dying now, are you?
No. And I was blessed with helping my sister pass on last year, and I think I made it very peaceful for her.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And,
yeah, that's a good thing.
And I did the same thing with my grandmother. She was 91, but, you know, I did the same thing with her, too. And as far as, like, the dreams, mm-hmm. I have to keep a dream journal now because I have so many of them. I don't know, ever since I've had the near death, I just have all these different things that I dream and I have feelings and stuff. I've even had one of my good friends, who is a Reiki instructor, come to me out of the blue, who I hadn't seen for months, just to specifically ask me if I felt a really weird upheaval in the energetic field around the planet.
Had you?
Yes, I do.
You feel that now?
Oh, I felt it for years. In fact, I'm planning on relocating from here because of the volcanic activity that's going around
Oh,
here.
Yeah, we just had a program about that last
oh,
week.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, Yellowstone scares me to death.
It's coming. Did you have any strange feelings today because of the power blackout?
I was sleeping during that time.
You were.
So I didn't.
No strange dreams then?
No. I haven't had a strange dream for a few months now.
You can publish all those dreams, though, into a little book one day.
Yeah, possibly.
Yes, you never know. Do you dream much, Kathleen?
Yeah, I do. It's gotten more so in the past couple of years.
Are they pleasant, or are they intuitive dreams? What are they?
Some of them are very unpleasant. Very much, you know, things to come and things like that. I wouldn't say they're prophetic at all. You know, I'm no prophet, but, you know, I have the same dreams that other people are having, the sense that someone else is in control of this country and not Americans and things like that.
Do you believe that you are a target spiritually for demonic possession because of what you believe?
You know what? I've been working with Father Martin's exorcist team. I live in a very bad place that has somewhat of an opening to hell. So yes, I do kind of feel targeted living here, and it's been very bad and uncomfortable. But yeah, I think that it would please Lucifer to do what he could.
I tell you, when we come back, we'll take more calls next hour. But I want to chat with you about what you just said. You work with the late Father Marlikai Matins.
Exorcist team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It really is. Stay with us. Kathleen Keating, my guest.